Well, welcome everyone on this cold but very appropriately weathered January community conversation. So when we planned these conversations, we specifically thought, let's do this meeting for this quarter via Zoom to keep everyone at home or in the office warm. And it turns out that was a good choice. So my name is Shelley Meharry. I'm president and CEO of the Community Foundation of Johnson County. It's been our delight to be able to bring together our community to have important learning sessions about needs in the community and also uplift and highlight the really wonderful work of so many of our nonprofit organizations that are doing in our community. And today's conversation about senior support fits that bill as well. So we're probably really familiar every time Forbes magazine or Money magazine or livability.com recognizes that our communities in Johnson County are a wonderful place to retire and live. And there's a reason for that. There's excellent healthcare available here, vibrant arts and culture scene. It's walkable, it's bikeable, but also the quality of life for those age 65 and older is enhanced greatly because of the supports that our community offers, whether that's support from municipalities, nonprofit work, arts and cultural organizations doing programming just to support our community members. And so we all benefit from that. And it's our delight to be able to share some of that insight and expertise and uplift some of that work for you today. So it is my pleasure to welcome sort of our steward of conversation today to kind of do some level setting about senior support with Jeff Kelbach. Jeff is a graduate of the University of Iowa with a degree in therapeutic recreation. He started his career in the nonprofit sector at Unity Point Abbey Aging Services, working with them for more than 16 years. He then began working as the activity coordinator at Pathways Adult Day Health Center before becoming the executive director. Jeff also serves as a marketing and fundraising manager for Abbey Health Aging Services. He began working with Johnson County Social Services in January of 2018 in a newly created aging services specialist position, and in this role provides care coordination and assistance to older adults and caregivers with access to resources. And he also serves as a staff liaison for Johnson County's Livable Community for Successful Aging Initiative. I welcome all of you to our call today. And Jeff, thank you so much for kicking off our conversation. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Shelley. Appreciate the introduction and thank you all for being here. I see a lot of familiar names and faces in the Zoom here. So I'm Jeff Kelbach. I'm an aging specialist with Johnson County Social Services, as Shelley said. I'm just going to do a general overview of some of the supports, senior supports for individuals in the community. It's not going to be all inclusive. That would be impossible. But hopefully to give an idea of some of the resources available. We are going to have some panelists that'll be talking about some of these things later on, so I'm not going to go into great depth, but this is some contact information that I'll have at the end as well. Let's see if it'll, there we go. So I'm starting off with financial assistance. In my role, I see a lot of folks that are lower income, older adults. A lot of individuals obviously is they're on a fixed income, struggling to make things work. So what are some of the resources available? There's the Medicaid program, which I could probably do a 2-hour presentation and not cover everything on Medicaid, but there are a lot of different programs through Medicaid. There's Medicare savings programs. There is the elderly waiver program. There are a great number of things. There's health insurance as well through Medicaid that may be available to some older adults. Food assistance through the SNAP program. That's another program through the Department of Health and Human Services like Medicaid. The LIHEAP program, which was we talk about the very, very cold weather. So LIHEAP is the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. That's going to help out individuals that are at 200% or lower of the federal poverty guidelines. So that's about $2,600 a month or less. But if the household is at that level, they may qualify for a credit to their heating utility company. So a lot of people in our area have Mid-American for gas. Rent reimbursement program is a program for renters that. Once again, I think the eligibility for the 2025 year is 26,829. Don't quote me. I don't know if that's exactly right, but I think that's right. There are some assistance programs for homeowners as well. So there's a 65 plus homestead credit that was introduced several years back. It's a one-time sign up, and you would get the credit every year. There's also an elderly and disabled tax credit that you can apply for. That one is required to apply for every year to ensure eligibility for that program. Some social supports. I really won't go into these too much, but we have the Iowa City Senior Center. Latasha is going to be one of our panelists today and can talk about some of the awesome things that they do there. Johns County Conservation has a lot of awesome programs and obviously, tremendous places to go. Trail of Johnson County is also represented here today with Christine Sheets. So I will let her talk about those awesome services. I saw Corey is on the call from the North Liberty 55 Plus Senior Connections. That's tremendous programming going on. So I would always tell people, you know, where you're at, take a look. There's a lot of programming that's going on. I know Solon has a lot of programs through. Volunteer, it's like Solon Senior Supports, Solon Senior Advocates, Solon Senior Dining Programs. So check out local libraries, parks and recs. If we get to the end of this, basically I'm kind of a catch-all as well as heritage, and you'll kind of hear that at the end too. Volunteer opportunities, there was going to be way too many to put onto here. So United Way of Washington and Johnson County, I just think does a tremendous job of keeping up volunteer opportunities in our community. They have a just it's a good, easy place to go. Nonprofit organizations in general. So I think a lot of the panelists that you're going to hear today will have volunteer opportunities for you. A lot of, you know, very worthwhile things that people could be doing. And obviously, there's a million more opportunities. Volunteers are really just needed badly. In-home services, I think a lot of people kind of hear this and go, I don't know what that is exactly. Just real quick, there's a couple of different kinds of in-home services. There's non-medical providers, so people that don't need nursing services or therapy services. They need somebody maybe to do some general cleaning, help with just some different supports throughout, you know, an individual's home or with that person themselves, maybe getting out to you know, transportation for
We were
something.
talking, first of all, how you could.
The medical providers, in-home medical providers, that's going to be, you know, your nursing, and we have that as well here. Sarah Krieger is with us. They do both of those, the non-medical and medical stuff. There's also medical in-home medical providers that do in-home physical therapy and occupational therapy. And then there's chore programming as well that is available with lawn mowing, snow removal services. I know that Unity Point Abbey Health Aging Services has a chore program available to residents of Johnson County. Have to check. That one's opens up pretty early for like lawn mowing. You're going to be looking for that probably around maybe as early as February or March. For snow removal, it's not a time you think about it, but probably around September is when you're looking for that to be available to sign up for those programs. Adult day is, as Shelley said, that's kind of where a lot of my love comes. I spend a lot of time working in adult day. I think it's a really underutilized type of service. But essentially, the idea there is it's a program that can provide socialization for folks that may need a little bit more care, supervision, assistance throughout the day. It also can provide a respite for caregivers. So oftentimes, you'll see in-home services and adult day, you know, used together to help keep somebody living at their in their home longer. Adult days can help with assisting with personal care, showering, bathroom assistance, medication management, meals. We have a couple of programs here in Iowa City. There's Caring Hands and More, and then there's Pathways Adult Day Health Center. Both of them are tremendous services for folks. Home repair. There's probably more things than this, but I just off the top of my head, Iowa Valley Habitat for Humanity. They do a lot of different. They have a lot of different programs. They do Helping Hands program that's done ramp builds for folks. They've done different repair work for individuals. There's an application process for that. The city of Iowa City also has a housing rehab program where citizens, residents of Iowa City, the city limits of Iowa City, could be eligible to get some assistance with different housing rehab. I wanted to bring this one. This is a newer, offering to our area, the PACE program. It's a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. We had a new program open up in Hiawatha, that serves the surrounding county, so it serves Johnson County residents. At this PACE facility, they provide the primary care physician. So I know that finding physicians can be a challenge for folks that are trying to establish care. One of the requirements of being part of the PACE program is that you would see their physician there. It is an all-inclusive care. So they do the transportation to and from the center. They provide adult day at that facility if somebody would want those services. They have therapy services on site, laundry. They do in-home services, showers, meals. They provide a lot of things. It's a very unique service, and I just kind of wanted to bring that up because it is new and it's not something that's probably top of mind for a lot of folks. PACE programs have existed in the state for quite a few years, but they've generally been on the western side of the state. Senior housing. Well, this is one that's a slide that could be 15 million slides. That's a big topic right there. Senior housing can consist of, apartments that are designed for older adults. We have Section 8 apartments in our community. There's five within the Johnson County. Three of them in Iowa City, one in Coralville, one in down in Lone Tree. And then there's also others that have tax incentives, that may be more affordable than a market rate apartment. But the idea of these is that they are more designed for an older adult. They generally are going to have, if there's more than one story, they have elevators. Showers are not always, but a lot of times there's going to be more walk-in options for folks. So it's trying to meet, individuals as they age, trying to find a more appropriate setting for an individual who needs that. There's independent living facilities. We'll oftentimes see some independent living combined with assisted living on campuses. So independent living, it's you have your own apartment still, and you may have some dining program where you get two of your meals or maybe all three of your meals at through the facility or at that campus. Assisted living is very similar. It's just you're going to have additional services. We also have assisted living memory care facilities here in the area. So folks that have progressed dementias that may need a safer, more a locked unit, more care would have that opportunity. And then there's skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes. We have quite a few in our community to meet people's needs. So that is in general just like a real quick overview of just some of the supports. It isn't really going to identify every single thing, as I said. So, who do you contact if you're having trouble finding these things? Well, you can contact me, or we have a couple of navigator positions here in Johnson County. What do? We try and just help figure out what options do exist. What are some things that we can do to get into those options? Like I said, we do a lot of paperwork, applying for Medicaid for folks, helping them through that process. And it's more than just doing an application and say, hey, see you later. With programs like Medicaid, there could be follow-up, that's necessary, particularly with trying to get on programs like the Elderly Waiver. can take a lot of time too to get on some of these programs. The elderly waiver has some extra components where you have to do a level of care assessment, and scheduling that with the third party Teligen can be a few months out. So just making sure people understand they may not get those services immediately. Heritage Area Agency on Aging, they're awesome. Go ahead and call them first. I'm okay with it. But they're wonderful, wonderful folks that do a lot of things. We partner on some cases, but they provide, funding for a lot of our programs in the area. Like, I didn't get into meals much, but I know Aaron will be able to talk a bit to that. Heritage helps fund the Meals on Wheels program here in our area, for instance. But they have elder rights specialists that can also help out for folks that may be victims of elder abuse. Sometimes that's self-neglect, that people just aren't able to care for themselves, may need some more help. So Heritage isn't going to try and get somebody into a worse situation. They're going to try and help people. And the idea of, I think, both of our programs is really to help people stay in their homes as long as it's safe and possible to do so. We're not going to force people out of there. My role, real quick, just I assist individuals with issues such as healthcare, housing, supportive services. I'm not a housing case manager. I kind of know just some of the resources that are available, some of the contacts those apartment managers can help try and get people connected, so that they can apply for places and hopefully figure out some short-term, long-term, solutions. And then other supportive services, social and community services. So Johns County Livable Community, I'll talk about this real briefly before we get over to the panelists, but we have a website on the county's site for Livable Community for Successful Aging. Through that, we have our service directory. You can go to livablecommunity.org there, and that'll take you right to that page. You can go onto the county as well, and it's under departments, and you can find Livable Community there as well. But some of the things you'll find, we have a monthly newsletter that comes out, talks about some of these programs. So when is the time to sign up for snow removal or lawn care? Through Abbey Health Aging Services, it'll have that information. Events coming up in the area, all sorts of great stuff. You can even look at old newsletters if you want to see some of the content. We have a policy board and several action teams. So our policy board is a group of volunteers that are appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and they're working on trying to make the community a better place. Right now, we've just completed a community survey this last year and are working on putting together an action plan currently. Through that, we have our action teams underneath that help out with carrying out a lot of these specific actions. The service directory, talk a little bit more about the service directory here. I think I have it on this next page. I also have upcoming events. So this next page, service directory, if you get into Livable Community, you go to find services, this is going to show up, and it's going to have these categories, and underneath that, there's going to be subcategories. This can be one way to try and search for things. It can be a little hard to find exactly what you're looking for, and that's oftentimes where you can contact me directly or contact Heritage directly to find out, hey, I've been looking, but I'm not quite seeing what I'm looking for. But just a resource for folks. If you live outside of Johnson County, but say you live in one of our surrounding counties, Heritage Area Agency on Aging likely serves them. If they're outside of the Heritage service area, if they're in the US, there is an area agency on aging that serves where they live. So no matter where they live, you can look up area agency on aging, put in the county and state that they live in, and generally that information should come up there for them. There's an online directory for the state as well. That's the Lifelong Links. So that's iowa.myresourcedirectory.com, where you can get some information. If you're looking for outside of, you can look for it in Johnson County as well, but certainly if you're looking outside of Johnson County, this would be a great resource for you. I did put up your questions, but with today's format, I mean, if you have questions, I'm going to hang around while the panelists talk, and I can answer questions here later on if people have those. But that's my contact information if you need to get in touch with me at all. So, and I'm going to kick it back
Wonderful.
over to Ellie.
Yes, thank you so much, Jeff. That was a great broad strokes overview of all the great things happening. And we are excited to have a panel of experts from many of the organizations that Jeff mentioned, who are going to be with us today. We are going to be moderated by Sarah Krieger with Iowa City Hospice and VNA. So I'm going to turn it over to her in just a moment. But wanted to let you all know if you have questions, feel free to put those in the chat. We'll be monitoring that as we go. We do have some kind of set questions for the panel already, so we'll start with that content. But then are happy to move into some Q&A live from you all. And as Jeff mentioned, he'll hang around too. So if you have questions from his piece, feel free to put those in the chat as well or save them for the end. All right, Sarah, I'm kicking it to you.
Hello, thanks, Ellie, and thank you everybody for being here today. We are here to talk about what it really takes for older adults to age well in our community. So we're going to talk about access, mobility, nutrition, joy, connection, and planning. We'll hear from organizations who work at different points along that aging journey and explore how do we all fit together to meet the needs of our community. But first, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to tell us who they are, our panel, and a brief description about your organization, about a minute or so we can get into the content. I'll start. I'm Sarah Krieger. I'm with Iowa City Hospice and the Visiting Nurse Association. Iowa City Hospice and the VNA together, we provide in-home care to people from birth to end of life. So we provide on the home health side, therapy, nursing, homemaking. We do have a homemaking program for people who are low income, thanks to a partnership with the county. We also do have private pay options as well on the home health side. On the hospice side, Iowa City Hospice, we take care of people who are at the end of life. So providing holistic care, nursing, medical, aid services. And our services that on the hospice side are given to everybody regardless of their ability to pay. So due to great support from our communities. So, anyways, I will move on and let's go ahead and start with Latasha.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Community Foundation, for creating this space for this conversation. My name is Latasha Deloach. I have the honor of serving as the coordinator of the Iowa City Senior Center and the Iowa City Senior Center. We exist to support wellness, social connection, lifelong learning, and a community engagement for folks who are 50 plus in a diverse Johnson County area. We also serve people outside of Johnson County. They come in different ways, whether that's just online or they drive from other communities. But we exist to help people to stay connected to their humanity as they age. And I think sometimes folks leave that out. So we're helping people navigate a lot of big transitions, whether it's retirement or they're in new caregiving roles or they have changes in their health or mobility, et cetera, as well as sometimes profound loneliness is very real. And so what we have learned is that aging isn't just services, but it's also about that belonging piece, that connection piece. And we work really hard to help people feel welcome and that they have dignity and they have purpose. And I always say we're pro-aging, and that people will still see your value. And we work really hard to make sure that our seniors don't feel invisible. And the beautiful thing is that we're in Johnson County with a ton of organizations that are doing incredible work, and we're just proud to be a part of that support network. And so I'm grateful to be a part of the panel, and I'm excited to explore like how we can continue to work together and strengthen the network of care that allows us to serve older adults in our community.
Thank you, Latasha. Next, we'll move on to Nancy. With Cycling Without H.
Hi, my name is Nancy Footner, and I'm one of the co-founders of Cycling Without Age at the Bike Library. Cycling Without Age, I first heard about a few years ago from a clip that was on the PBS Evening News. It was started 13 years ago. It's a global mission, but it started in Denmark, where everyone starts riding a bike pretty much straight out of the womb until usually in their 80s, when it just become too frail and, it doesn't work. Now they're in 41 countries, 3,500 locations, 6,000 of the trishaws, which is our bike, and 5 million plus rides globally. We started. When I heard about this program, I just was so excited and felt like Johnson County was the perfect place to start a chapter. I went to Audrey at the bike library. I said, "Audrey, you should do this." And she was like, "You're right, but I can't take on anything more." So she threw the ball back to me and said, "But I'm going to connect you with someone who I think would be interested in working with you." And that's Michelle Voss, and she's on the call. And so we started just brainstorming together, how can we bring this program to Johnson County? When we first step, of course, was become a chapter, which did not cost any money, although we had to agree to certain principles. And the principles are generosity, so the rides are always free, storytelling, so we want to evoke memories and stories that come out of memories, and build relationships, so it breaks the social isolation that often can come with being older and not getting out, frankly. And the rides are slow, so we're not in a race. They go slowly so that we can meet people on the trail and strike up conversations and again break through that isolation and without age. So yes, we are reaching out to older adults, but also anyone who cannot ride a bike independently for whatever reason. We have two of these trishaws now, our program is it's just getting going. So I feel like it's quite an honor to be have been invited to this panel, because I feel like we're the newest kid on the block. And you all have a lot of experience, but one of the things I've been trying to do is build partnerships with existing organizations so that next year, when we really get our program going, I will have a lot more sort of feelers out, tentacles out to make it all happen. So I'll just stop there for now.
That's awesome, Nancy. I'm really interested in your program. It's unique. Next, we have Polly with ThinkJoy.
Hi everyone, I'm Polly Price and I sit on the board of the ThinkJoy nonprofit. We're fairly new as well. And because we have other jobs, this is sort of our fun project and it has become bigger than we ever thought. So it's slowly sort of creeping into our lives and becoming the main focus for us. And I couldn't be happier. I'm actually here in place of Angela Harney, whose vision started this whole thing. And she came to me and said, we both were actually, we work at the rec center and we have clients, and we noticed that there was just a little dip in the older population. We needed something to create a little more enthusiasm, more zest for life. What is happening? Where are they going? They don't feel valued, purposeful, none of this. And Angela created this, had this idea. So we create this 501c3, and our mission basically is to create events. We have a program called Day by Design, where we take a resident and give them exactly what they think they would like their day to look like. Whether that is a restaurant, a park, a family member, we create events at assisted living programs. We're actually coming up on Valentine's Day, so you can imagine what that looks like. We're dancing and music and trivia games. It's so much fun. But the joy that this brings to the people we bring this to is immeasurable, restoring resilience and creating memories and history and sharing. And it's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And I noticed with all of you on the panel, we all have that same mission, right? We just want to bring happiness and take care of our older population. We're all getting older. It's going to happen. So for me, this has been such a pleasure to be involved with. And there's so much more we do. The health benefits are, as I said, immeasurable. And I'll go into that a little bit as we move on through this program. But I'm so grateful to get to know everybody. And thank you for asking us to be here. Thank you.
Ali, I can imagine that you probably get about as much joy as you give when you do this work. It sounds wonderful. All right. And next we have Aaron with Horizons Meals on Wheels.
Hi everyone. Thanks for having me. My name's Aaron. I am the new Vice President of Programs here at Horizons. I was overseeing the Meals on Wheels department for about a year, but now just took on this new role. But here at Horizons, we have three main programs. So we do the Meals on Wheels for Lynn, Johnson, and Washington counties. Our Meals on Wheels serves about 500 individuals, or we do about 1,000 hot meals a day that go throughout all the counties. We do about 500 to 600 home visits a day to those clients. So that's where our big connection with our senior community comes through the Meals on Wheels program. Our second program is Neighborhood Transportation Services, where we run when the city buses are no longer running. Right now, we do Trip Connect in Johnson County, and that is also running in the evenings and nights for when the public transportation is closed. Unfortunately, that program is coming to an end, but we are trying to figure out how we can keep it going. And then our third program is financial wellness, where we invite people from the community to teach them about a first home buyer's class or how to get out of credit card debt, how to balance your own budgets, a lot of different programming that we do there. We also are MCOs for community members, so we definitely touch a lot of different people within the counties we serve.
And then last but not least, we have Christine Sheets with Trail.
Good afternoon. I was so happy to see so many of our volunteers and members who are on this call. So, Trail of Johnson County stands for the Trail stands for Tools and Resources for Active and Independent Living. And we are a membership and volunteer-based nonprofit organization with a mission to help older adults age more safely with support. And reduced isolation in their own homes or the places they call homes. And I'll talk more about that as we go along. We have about 260 members currently, spread throughout Johnson County, though, with the heaviest concentration being in the Iowa City Coralville area and North Liberty being next to that, working on how to better serve rural areas of our community. I'll talk about some of the things that our wonderful volunteers provide, but We are set up to, our number one request is for transportation. And I'll talk more about that during the rest of the program, but we also provide help in the home, friendly visits, wake up, rise and shine calls, and phone buddies. A lot of things designed to make sure that people feel well connected with peers, with volunteers of all ages, and are able to say stay safely in their homes. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. All right, so we are going to go ahead and get into the portion where we ask questions of each of the panel members. And we're going to start talking about access because there are so many supports out there, but it seems like not everybody has access to what they need. So we're going to start out with Latasha. And many seniors experience gaps between available services and what they can actually access. What are the biggest barriers that you see in Johnson County, and what collaborative steps do you think we can take to bridge those gaps?
So, as we have all stated, it's not that we have a lack of services, right? So, I think the persistent challenge that we're seeing with older adults here at Iowa City Senior Center is kind of the distance between the services, I would say. There's lots of options. Some services are overlapping, some services don't quite get at exactly what someone's looking for. There's lots of pieces to navigate. We know transportation is it's significant. Thankfully, here at least in Iowa City, the transportation is free. But with the ending of buses in like North Liberty and those folks trying to figure that out in Coralville, it's just transportation can be an issue. And sometimes it's just being able even to get down to the bus stop, right? It's not always that it's easy. Sometimes there's long wait times if people are using seats and other services like that for transportation. We know there's a digital divide that is very real that happens, and we have lots of tech help here. We probably could always use a little bit more. There's also cultural mistrust, right? We have things, sometimes we don't want to really get into the fact that we have people who are aging across different demographics. And they have had different experiences. There's also pieces where people don't want to really acknowledge that older adults have neurodivergence and have gone undiagnosed due to stigma over years. And so we end up running into people every day who are just, they're arriving and they have one need, and we realize there's so many other needs that, and it's like, all we can do is refer you to multiple people, and then navigating that alone is very difficult. And we don't have enough navigators. We don't have enough Jeffs. Jeff's name is probably one of the most popular names here at the Senior Center. We're going to call Jeff, whereas, and there's just not enough Jeffs, and even though we have, Heritage and we have other folks, it still can be difficult. Not just for older adults, but their families that are reaching out to us about like, what do we do next? How do we support our mother? How do we keep her connected? So those are things that we're seeing as access gaps. I think the other part of your question was about what we can do, right? Collaborative steps. I think, like I said, we need more Jeffs. I don't know where the funding comes from, it would be so great if we could have warmer handoffs between organizations, not just referrals, and that we had more shared outreach so that we can kind of reduce some duplication of efforts. I think some of us are just meeting each other for the first time, and today on this call, and we're doing similar things with similar missions and visions, but yet we don't have relationships. So that's something that I feel we can work on right now, and that we are able to meet people more where they are physically, culturally, and emotionally, and use more plain language. Yes, we have very, very high level of educated folks, but sometimes you don't want to feel like navigating, your graduate level language, and you just really want support and you just really want connection. So that's a couple of areas that I'm looking at. We can have a stronger shared ecosystem, I guess, to improve. That's something we can do pretty quickly. Well, sort of quickly. We know that that's complicated, but I think it's something we definitely should look forward to, especially as our population increases here in Johnson County, where older adults come into the area for medical care, to live, et cetera.
Great. I love your concept of warm handoffs. That's something that our team is actually really working on. Is we want when once somebody comes into our network, once we connect with them, even if their need isn't something that we can meet, we want to be experts about all the other organizations in the community so we can do that warm handoff, because we all know that healthcare is hard to navigate without having the experience that we have. I mean, it's hard for us even with the experience that we have. So the more warm handoffs we can do, I think the better served our people will be. Thank you, Latasha. So, like you said, access is often shaped by whether people can actually get out into the community. If you can't get there, it's kind of difficult to get that service. So moving on to Nancy, you guys are focused on mobility. So what is the mission of Cycling Without Age, and what do you offer to the Johnson County community?
Well, I would say our mission is basically to provide, to share the joy. So, working with the other organization, the share of joy of cycling with those who can no longer or never could ride a bike independently. And that's with this trishaw that was invented. Well, you've all seen these bikes that have cargo bikes, that have their kids or their groceries on the back of the bike. What's unique about these trishaws is the passengers sit in front. They get the full view. They're not looking at someone's helmet or their back. They get the full view, and they get the wind, the wind in their hair. And that's kind of the slogan. And I feel personally that everyone has the right to feel the wind in their hair, and should. And so that's, my mission. And so far we've formed two partnerships that are really our base. One with the bike library, which I'm excited about for a number of reasons. One, because it's generally a younger group, and so I want this to foster intergenerational relationships through that. And so that's because we need pilots. Pilots are the ones who ride the bike and sort of provide the power. And so we're always that's what we've been developing in the last 6 months or so prior to the winter, is a team of pilots. And they become certified, so they're trained. And of course, the basic, they need to be interested in our mission, not just want to take this interesting bike out for a ride, but to be wanting to be with these people who we are serving. And then our second partnership is with I have to get this right, Adaptive and Inclusive Recreation for the City of Iowa City, based at Ashton House. So we're very fortunate in that Ashton House, over by the river, next to the bike trail, had space for us to store, but we have these two trishaws. And so that was just a huge, wonderful thing for not only building this partnership with the disabled community, but to be in a location that was really provided us with safer access to getting the bike out on a trail right there by the river, by Ashton House. So those are our two first partnerships that are really giving us the basis. The Knight Library is also providing us the nonprofit status and giving us a lot. They provided us with some funding. We got AARP grant, Community Challenge Grant, which enabled us to get a wheelchair accessible. So that's our second one, which came this fall. So the past year has been kind of a real building year. And then next year, we're really going to be starting our program. And it will be free. It's always free to anyone for a ride. Of course, we have expenses, And so we accept donations and they come through the bike library. So I hope that helps answer those questions.
Yeah, I love that. Everybody has the right to feel the wind in their hair. I love that. That's a great concept. And I love, the pairing of the mobility with the joy that you're creating, which makes me think about Polly and think joy. And tell us more about why you believe joy is essential to the well-being of older adults, and how do you all go about bringing joy to people's lives?
Well, I love hearing the word joy in everybody's introduction. It just makes my heart so full. So before this, because I really wasn't the one who was supposed to be here, I have some notes, guys. So sorry about that. Just in case. I think joy for anyone, not just older adults, but in particular, it still helps them feel valued. They feel seen, right? There's color in their lives. There are histories, there are memories, there are health benefits. So the studies are out that not only a stronger immune system, but lower stress, inflammation, better heart health, improved cognitive functions, right? Emotional well-being, better sleep, increased longevity, social connections, all of the above. Not, I mean, we all take that sort of thing for granted, but for the senior citizens, this is important. I think part of the time they don't even know what's happening. So when we bring that counterbalance of joy to the challenges they face, whether it's health, mobility, living facilities, losses in their family, etc., we all know those. I think the joy sort of balances that out for them. So the smiles, the stories, the laughter, there can't be anything wrong with any of it. So it's a win-win for everybody. I feel in this program, I couldn't be happier bringing, whether it's one person bringing them out for a day by design or creating an event. If you go to our website and see the videos that on the events we've done before, it instantly brings a smile to your face. There's so much laughter and dancing. And at one point, a guy got up, took the microphone, and serenaded his wife. I mean, when does that happen? It was amazing. It's so amazing. And as you can see, I get overwhelmed. The facts are there, the science is there, but for me, it's the passion. Absolutely. We all know the facts. But for us, it was a sort of a no-brainer to do this for people in need. And whether it's a dementia patient or an assisted living patient or independent living, it doesn't matter. Just having community will spark joy incredibly, no matter where. So, yeah, I love what I do.
I can
And
tell.
I would love to share with you guys too.
Honestly, Polly, I think the joy just exudes from your pores. You can just see it. I wanna do what you're doing because
Come.
I wanna be that joyful.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think about, I don't know how I'm a nurse, I should share, and I think about in school we learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know if how many of you have gone through that, but joy is kind of that top of the pyramid self-actualization, like where we all want to get. But to get there, our daily needs have to be met. We have to have our basic needs. We have to have food. It's very important in the creation of joy. And Erin, Wondering why do you think, I mean, we all know why nutrition is important, but how do you see nutrition impacting the daily lives of seniors, and how do you guys go about helping with that?
Nutrition is so important for our senior community. With poor diet, can cause malnutrition in adults. It can bring higher rates of fertility, increased risks of falls. Wounds heal slower, more infections are easier to catch and get rid of. And then, without proper nutrition, we do see high levels of readmissions back into hospitals after long stays, when people don't have that nutrition available to them. And along with nutrition, we kind of talked about already, but also nutrition and loneliness go hand in hand. So when you're feeling lonely, a lot of elder, community members don't eat, and then they're a higher risk of developing more issues with their already failing health. In one study from America, or Meals on Wheels America, found that older adults skip an average of 224 meals per year, and 75% of older adults are not getting a key, at least one key nutritional component in any of their meals. So nutrition is a really big problem that a lot of seniors face in our communities. And so with Meals on Wheels, we step in there to make sure that clients are getting those nutrition balance that they need. We are working on a new program called Medically Tailored Meals, where we can focus on specific food groups to help certain diseases like hypertension, heart failure, diabetes. And with these specific diets, we use the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet are really big diets that are coming now. A lot more studies are being done on them, and using these diets actually help with these diseases. And we see less readmission into hospitals. We see people healing faster, less falls, more clear-headed. And a lot of people just are unaware that the things you eat affects everything you do throughout your day and your whole life.
I honestly did not know you guys are able to tailor meals to people's health condition. That's
Yes, we just started. We are just finalizing our menus, getting everything approved by dietitians to make sure it's exactly, what they would need. But yes, we are hoping to get that launched in the next month or two.
fantastic. I love that. We know that, food is important, and also planning ahead is important. And part of planning ahead is kind of really understanding what is out there, which is part of what we're doing here. But next, I'm going to move on to Christine with Trail. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see in Trail that older adults face today, and how do you and Trail uniquely support that independence? Christine, you're muted.
I am so sorry. There are several areas that I'll kind of address in their individually and then in their entirety. And some of these are very individual, but kind of a common experience. And others, I would say, are really not necessarily about aging itself, but much more about systems and policies and environments that we're aging in that haven't necessarily kept up with longer lives. And that's one of the points that I would make, one of the significant challenges and concerns that we're facing as we're aging is that there has been we're living much longer, but not necessarily healthy all of those years. There's about a 14-year gap between longevity, lifespan, and healthy years. And so, Trail Really has worked with community education in this area, as well as supporting people individually with monthly programming and with all of our members around monthly program and information, and then helping them get connected to other things that are going on in the community to help maintain or improve mobility, balance, strength as people are aging. There are very real concerns about financial stability and affordability, which affects mobility to age in place and stay in one's home, which is often a more affordable solution than making a move. And of course, it's a very deeply personal one where people want to stay, and emotional one where people want to stay in their homes as long as they possibly can. One of the challenges there is that the home that they own or rent may not be set up for all of the physical adaptations that we may need as we age. And so, with that in mind, Trail also uniquely provides both volunteers who can help with just some fairly routine things around the house and light household projects that might help, as well as offering resources available in the community for reliable help and affordable help in being able to make some home modifications as needed. We offer to our full members, two specialized services that I think are really important that go along with healthcare costs and navigation, which has been mentioned before, and the planning piece. We do have volunteers that are specifically trained to be a part of medical advocacy, attend appointments with members, and support them as they're receiving care, and help them prepare for an appointment, take notes in the appointment, debrief with them afterwards, and make sure that there is some advocacy happening. And then our Life Transitions program with a really tremendous group of volunteers with advanced training and under the counsel of a consultant social worker, licensed social worker. We work, those volunteers work one-on-one with some of our members who are making a trans, who are in a transition or planning for a transition. And that could be a move, that could be due to the loss of a spouse or other family member, that could be related to planning for who will speak for me if I cannot make decisions. So they might be getting some paperwork in order and those legal documents, and having the discussions both with their life transition volunteer as well as potentially family members or someone else about what they might want down the road as circumstances change, both in terms of living situation, financial arrangements, and healthcare, all very important pieces. One thing I want to say before I hop off here, though, is that we offer two levels of membership, and I've been talking primarily about the services provided under full memberships. And we do offer an affiliate membership as well, and that includes all of the social activities that we have available, as well as a monthly newsletter that is, I always say, is the newsiest of newsletters. A lot of information that would be not only about trail happenings, but very much topics of interest to older adults. And then there. And then many of our affiliate members and even full members are part of our volunteer pool as well. And so there are many ways for people to get involved and to be engaged in terms of the social isolation and reducing that. In each one of these things, when we talk about a volunteer providing transportation, it's not just that ride that is so important to someone who either is no longer driving or is limiting their driving significantly. But that relationship that ends up being developed, they not only can get where they want to go and maintain that level of independence, but it also is a great relationship that is being developed between volunteer and member. So, a really important piece of what Trail provides to our members.
Great. Thank you, Christine. I know that I've partnered with Trail and your staff on multiple cases and really appreciate the advocacy. And it's that just in time because you already know these people. You're there when that's happening and able to get people in the right direction. And they're with people who they already trust, which I think makes a big difference. So thank you. And now we are going into our lightning round of questioning because we have been quite gregarious in our conversation so far. So we're going to limit it to 2 minutes per response. Thank you all for all of your answers so far. I'm going to start with Latasha. And a lot of what Christine talked about was that connection with other people, the trust that they're building. And curious, what organizations are working, what other organizations to keep seniors connected, especially those who live alone, face mobility or cognitive changes?
So I would, so you're saying what organization are you asking me?
Or how are organizations? I guess
Okay.
you could say, what are the
Okay.
organizations and how are they doing
Well, I mean,
it?
obviously here we obviously have lots of organizations here on the call that are addressing many of these things. And I guess the thing I think about, and I know I need to answer this quickly, is looking at, we know that isolation is a problem, and that it's an invisible problem sometimes, and it happens kind of quietly. And so I really appreciate the different organizations that are doing work, whether that's bike rides or whether that's planning a day for a senior to hang out and have a dream day. Or the different services, or a meal with someone showing up with a smile. All of those things really matter. I know that we have been trying to coordinate more with not just other senior organizations, but we are working on a project here with something that we're calling Connection Cards, where we've been training and partnering with so many gerontological, I can never ever get so many together, but how do we train EMS, how do we train fire and different folks, and how to help them identify isolation, and that they now have on all of their fire trucks, at least in Iowa City, they have brochures for the senior center, and they will have connection cards where they can fill it out if they see a senior that has a transportation gap or different things as a referral back to us, so that we can give them a call and connect with them, and try to do a warm handoff, as we're saying. And so they'll have that on all their trucks, because fire, the probably the top th one of the top three things that they deal with a lot is falls, and a lot of that is coming from our older adults. And just also quickly, I think some of the services that we're not seeing in this conversation, because we're limited with time, is that we are having a significant increase of seniors that are unhoused. So a lot of these beautiful things that we're offering are people who have homes, we're trying to keep them in their homes, but we're also not kind of clearly talking about the cultural pieces, mental health, and the fact that many seniors are going to see a significant increase over the next 5 to 6 years about not having housing. And we're seeing that in significant numbers here at the senior center, and we're working really hard on trying to help address that. And I think that's something that's really important, so we can have fun and have events. But if you don't have your immediate needs met, going back to that Maslow hierarchy of needs, that is something that's very real, that's happening in our community.
Yes, it is. It's increasing and it's sad and scary, Latasha. Thank you for bringing that up. Ellie, did you hear that? That felt, we're going to need another one of these. So Put it in the queue. Thank you, Latasha. Like we've talked about a lot, access is a challenge. And it's I love this idea of you can, schedule a ride. So Nancy, curious about cycling without age, how does someone actually schedule a ride with y'all, and is there a cost?
There is no cost. This is the next piece we're really working on in the next few months. Right now, we're not giving any rides. they're doing it in Norway and Sweden, Denmark, but not here. so that's the next piece we're working on, and we're waiting for some software that we're going to be kind of testing out that's coming from Denmark. Right now, though, you can go to our webpage, which is on the Bike Library website. I think the link is in the chat, or Ellie provides it to everyone who's participating. And then you can, I mean, we need to be looking forward to giving rides. And so if people just express an interest now, then we'll have them on our list. And then when we get things going and whenever the weather warms up, we'll have, people just get out and start the rides going with. We also need volunteers on a number of different levels. Including pilots, the people who pedal the bike. These are e-assisted bikes, by the way. And then helping us, like if someone's really good at systems and technology and can help us figure out this piece of scheduling, please go to our web page and sign up and let's talk. We need your help and other things too. Just taking care of the bikes is part of the problem. They provide for maintenance. So if you like tinkering with a very interesting looking bike, then go to our website, sign up to be a volunteer, and let us know that you're interested. So that's where it is right now. We're very much in the sort of like toddler stage. we're beyond our infancy, but we're kind of learning how to navigate and how to walk, and so it's going to be really an interesting year coming up.
Well, you've got to start somewhere, right? That's, and I love it. I love the entire concept. So sometimes it's just, a single experience that you can share that shows best what an organization can do and how they can impact someone. So I'm curious, Polly, do you have any meaningful moments where you can share that where ThinkJoy created a meaningful impact on our community member? Just share one story.
So many.
You only get one, Polly.
Okay, so I told you about the Days by Design. So there was a so the way we operate is through nominations, right? And that's where we go to help out or to create an event or a day. There was a gentleman who was here. He was a professor, an author, and had been in assisted living for 10 years without a single visitor. And we started going in to visit with some of the residents there and found out that he was all alone, interesting guy, but had this penchant for classical music. So we brought in a pianist to play for 45 minutes for this man, this gentleman who was over the moon for no other reason but to bring him joy for that day. And I think, I mean, he was generally a fairly happy guy, in spite of the situation, but this brought him incredible amounts of joy just to hear this pianist play and sing 45 minutes out of the entire 24 hours. If you think about that, y'all, right? 45 minutes out of 24 hours to change somebody's life. Don't get me started. Ah, I get emotional, but it's things like that that we can do to change somebody's day, hour, minute, life we're in. It doesn't take a lot to do, but we're passionate about it, as you can see. So I'll be quiet. There's many more.
We could do a whole whole section on that, I think.
I know.
It's amazing what may seem like a little bit to us can be
Right.
so meaningful to other
So
people. I love
meaningful.
it. So Aaron, thinking about Meals on Wheels, you shared that there's this concept of more than a meal. So what does that mean for Meals on Wheels clients?
Yeah, so the more than a meal, we are offering, just like it says, more than a meal. But so we're offering, a friendly face, a connection with someone to stop that isolation. So if you've heard me talk or our CEO, Katie Otsfeld, before, she has a great analogy. So if you are working or, your regular day and every interaction that you have with someone and you put a penny in a jar, your jar is going to be pretty full at the end of the day with all the interactions you have. A lot of our clients, the penny that goes in their jar is one penny, and that's from seeing a Meals on Wheels volunteer bring them a meal. So, we are doing more than just providing food. We're providing community, friendship, companionship. We also train our volunteers to look for things that maybe our clients are too afraid to ask for help for. They leave notes every day when they're visiting clients about how their conditions are. We teach them to look for certain conditions. Like a volunteer can say, "I think, John looks like he hasn't left his chair in a few days. Can we get someone out there to help?" And our team here at Meals on Wheels will reach out to other programs that were mentioned today, like Trail or Pace or anything, any program that we can think of to get them that support that they need. So yeah, more than a meal is just being that community member for our seniors, and we're hoping to expand that more here in Linn County. We are going to be opening a senior center at our location, so we're hoping to expand our congregate lunches to get more seniors together here in Cedar Rapids, because we actually have not had a senior center since the flood of 2008 in Cedar Rapids, so it's been almost 20 years. So we're excited to get that and stop that isolation that our community members are experiencing.
I love how food is brings us together. It's so much of our culture. Food is a reason for us to come together, and just amazing that even just the act of delivering that food is bringing that community member back into the fold. It's reconnecting them with the community. I love it. You guys do great work, Karen.
Thank you so much.
So ideally, we do hope to connect with people before there is a crisis. And a lot of what Trail does is that proactive support. So, Christine, can you tell us how does proactive community-based support change outcomes for older adults and then their families as well, who also are impacted by these changes?
Absolutely. So one of the things, kind of looking at that big picture, is that addressing things in a more preventive way earlier on, avoiding things going to becoming crisis driven, can then lead to fewer ER visits and preventable hospital stays. It can be earlier detection of health and cognitive issues so that people are receiving treatment earlier as possible, and better medication adherence. But also the ability to stay in one's home longer as we're aging, delayed or avoided moves to assisted living or nursing homes, and slower functional decline because of more activity, more mental stimulation, improved balance and mobility. So, with just small supports, thinking transportation, light home maintenance, social connection, it really preserves independence far longer and more effectively as we age, and then consequently delays more late stage medical care. great benefit on improved physical and mental health, and just reducing loneliness and depression, lowering stress and anxiety. It's much more helpful if you know somebody's going to be checking on you. There isn't as much worry. There's greater feeling of safety, which reduces that stress and anxiety, and then better overall related health. So those are kind of the outcome level. I just want to say a couple of things about sort of what that looks like in terms of proactive community-based support. We mentioned it's preventive and not crisis-driven, but Latasha really touched on this very early on in her comments, and it has come up over and over again. It's very local and relationship-based. And so the more and more that all of our organizations are working together to be able to still offer very flexible and person-centered care, not one size fits all, but really being able to address people where they are, and focusing on some of those everyday needs, the better we're going to be helping our current older adults and future older adults. And that's the one other thing I'd say about proactive community, is the ability to start these conversations much earlier on in people's lives, because one, decisions they're making today are going to affect health and well-being later in their lives. And also because in all reality, they probably are experiencing some of the issues of aging with their adult parents, either in a caregiving role or beginning to start looking at that caregiving role, which is a we could do many hours of that program. I also wanted to touch on one last thing, and that is that in addition to our memberships that I've talked about, we do offer a supported membership program for individuals who are low or lower income who would not otherwise be able to afford those services. And I can't not acknowledge both the Community Foundation through the Cauldron Fund for Seniors has provided funding for this. Midwest One Bank and a number of very generous donors have also earmarked their contributions to be able to support the supported membership program. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, everybody. I hope that if nothing else, that today shows you that aging well isn't really about a single service. It's about a connected network. And all of us nonprofits are all working to become even more connected. There's several different coalitions that we're working on to be better connected, to be able to better support our community. And when transportation, nutrition, joy, planning, and the community work together, our hope is that our older adults will thrive. And like Christine said, we all will get there. You know, God willing, we all will have the privilege of getting older and becoming older adults and get to hopefully benefit from these amazing services that we're creating today. I'm going to pitch it back to Ellie, and thank you all again for your attention and for sharing your joy and your information with us.
Thank you all. Big thank you to Jeff, Sarah, Christine, Latasha, Nancy, Polly, and Erin for everything that you've shared today. All of the resources and links to things, hopefully you saw in the chat a couple times, but they will live on our website. It's kind of on the main page. You can see the event for today, where you registered likely. So all of the resources are there. You can go back and find that information at any point. I do want to wrap up really quickly because I know we're already over time, but one more thing I want to make sure I share. 5224 Good, our local giving and learning circle here in the area, is actually focusing this year's grant making on senior support. So we're really excited about that. Take a peek on our website about 5224 Good in general, learn a little more about what they do, but keep your eyes open on that. We've got senior support as our topic area, so there'll be lots more learning and sharing and awareness around all of the great resources you heard about today. So check that out, take a peek, and take a look at our website if you want to connect with any other presenters from today. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, y'all.